ever. I'm going to use a passage that, frankly, I've never heard on Christmas morning, but I thought it fit well as a sermon title. Why is this best day ever? Why exactly did Christ come for us? In Hebrews chapter 10, 4 through 7, Hebrews 10, 4 through 7, we read this. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. And then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. Did you get that part there? A body you have prepared for me. That part right there? That's Christmas, isn't it? That is God in the flesh, God coming back and putting on flesh as we know it. God coming in the body to what? To do the Father's will. That is God the Son coming back, say, behold, I have come to do your will. Remember the night in the garden before he died on the cross? He was praying, said, not my will, but your will be done. He said, any way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. He came to do the will of the Father. And he came in the flesh to do the will of the Father. Now, Christmas is kind of one of those crazy holidays where there's a lot of traditions that we do, sometimes without thinking about it. Traditions that have very spiritual meanings to them. We're here, and yes, we remember Christmas Day as the day that Christ was born. And again, I'm going to emphasize that. It's not actually, in fact, all scholars, I think, would tell you that Christmas Day isn't actually the day that Christ was born, but it's a day that we celebrate. And why is it that we celebrate now? Why this time of year? Well, it goes back to really antiquities, times even before Christ came. Some of the religious celebrations they had, some of them weren't very, what's the word I'm looking for? They weren't very holy celebrations, but yet there was meaning behind that. The Christians thought, you know, this is a good meaning. This is exactly what Christ has done for us. For example, did you know that right now, actually coming up next week, we're going to be, this is the time of the year when we are closest to the sun, that the earth is closest to the sun. And that doesn't make much sense because right now it's colder, isn't it? But when you actually look it up, right now, January 3 is really when it's going to happen, the earth is going to be at its closest point to the sun. Now think about that spiritually, right? I mean, you can over-spiritualize things. At the same time, it's interesting to me that at this point, we also became closest to the Son of God, this time that we celebrate, right? The Romans, they considered the winter solstice as they were celebrating now. They saw winter as a symbol of death. And when you look around, you see that, right? The trees are all losing their leaves. They've already lost them. The gardens are all dead. Everything is dead. Winter is death. And what's spring? Spring is new life. And so they had the celebration that they would do that celebrated the end of death and the beginning of life. Now, that's not too hard to spiritualize, is it? Because when Christ came, what did he come to do? He came to end death and bring us life. It's interesting how this tradition, how this holiday falls upon all these different things, the meaning behind it. This is the shortest days of the year, isn't it? And Christ came to bring light to us when we were living in darkness. All the symbols that we see. December 25th was the Saturnalia Festival of Emancipation, gift-giving and the triumph of light over the longest night. The Christian sees a truth implicit in this pagan tradition that reflects Christ, the light of the world, his triumph over the night of sin. Evergreen trees were the symbol of eternal life. We believe Martin Luther was the first one to bring evergreen trees into his home. It's been almost 500 years ago now. We've been celebrating Christmas with evergreen trees as a picture of eternal life. Candles are a picture that Christ is the light of the world. The holly that we use to decorate our home speak of the thorns that were in his crown. Red is the color of Christmas that speaks of Christ's blood and death. Gifts are a reminder of the gifts of the Magi to baby Jesus and also the gift of God's own Son to us. Mistletoe was an ancient symbol from Roman times. It was under the mistletoe that old enmities and broken friendship were restored. So Christ was the one who took away the enmity and gave us peace with God. Christmas Eve is a time when we remember that Christ came in the darkest night of earth's need to be the light of the world. Bells are associated with ringing out good news. The angels came to the shepherds and proclaimed good news. We have God's word proclaiming good news, and now we are to do the same, proclaim the good news to those around us. And it's interesting, the shepherds are watching the flocks. There are many scholars who actually think the shepherds were watching the flocks, some of which were used in temple sacrifices. Isn't it interesting how God would go to those who are watching over the sheep, offered for our sins, and it was a temporal offering. It wasn't permanent. And God would go to those people to say, the permanent offering is now here. That's an interesting concept to think about. Christ came, and we celebrate Christmas because of that, and he came to do the will of the Father. He came. And it's interesting right here, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, or therefore, because of this, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? It's a weird Christmas passage, I know, but Christ coming as a body, why did he come as a body? Because it's impossible for the sacrifices of bulls and goats and even lambs to take away the sin of the world. It's impossible for that to happen. When they offered sacrifices for their sins, it was something they had to do on a recurring basis, over and over and over and over again. They had to do that because those sacrifices did not permanently take away the consequences of sin. Christ came to do the will of the Father. Christ came to be our permanent sacrifice. So what exactly does this mean for us? Why does it matter to me? Beginning in verse 8 now, Hebrews chapter 10. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Man, what a celebration Christmas should be for us. Because he came in the flesh to become a flesh offering for us, for our sins on a permanent basis. It's done. We no longer have to worry about that. It's taken care of. And if you've been part of Grace Baptist, you understand what the scriptures say about us. In Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? All of us have sinned. And I tease kids quite a bit on Awana Wednesday nights. I said, does that mean even Pastor Bear sins? And they're very emphatic in their yes, offensively so. That's okay, right? Now, there's actually some hesitation when I ask about Mrs. Bear, but that's another story, all right? But yes, all have sinned, haven't we? That's what the Bible says. And Christ came to abolish that. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. On Christmas morning, remember the gift. You know, John 3:16 says it so well. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is God's promise to us. But he gave us the gift of his Son. Christ came in a body prepared just for him. He came in the flesh. He came to offer a sacrifice for our sins, a permanent sacrifice for our sins. And that's the truth of Christmas morning. That's the celebration of Christmas morning. And then really, it comes down to this. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9. This is an awesome passage. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the what? The gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. That passage doesn't get any clearer than that, does it? It's faith. I can't work and earn my salvation. You can't work and earn your salvation. I can't go to church enough to get saved. I can't give enough money to get saved. I can't do enough good deeds to get saved. My salvation isn't based on what I do. It's not a result of my own doing. It is all based upon what God has done. Completely. And because of that, I can never lose that gift. All I got to do is believe. And that gift is mine. Ephesians 1:13 says that when I believe, then I am sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantor of my eternal life. Being sealed by the Spirit all through my faith. That's what the Bible says. This isn't what Pastor Barry says. This is what the Bible says, right? And I know there are different faiths that teach different things. Yes, you got to come to church to be saved. You got to do this to be saved. You got to do that to be saved. You got to pray this certain prayer to be saved. No, it's not any of that stuff. It's just believing. It's what the Bible says, right? It's a gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And that's the end. Right? You can argue with me all you want, but who cares what Pastor Bear says? What's the Bible say? And it doesn't get any clearer than that, does it? Christmas morning, we remember Christ coming in the flesh so that later he could die in the flesh so that our sins would be permanently forgiven by the perfect sacrifice of God. And that is the celebration of Christmas morning and something we should always remember. I want to take a moment. I just want to pray. And I want to thank God for this great gift he's given us. We've got a few more songs to sing. We've got a few different things to do. But there's no better place to spend on Christmas morning than in church, celebrating and thanking God for that gift that he's given us, this precious gift that he's given us. God, we come to you today. Lord, we read the Christmas story. We read about Mary and Joseph, and I'm sure this was frightening and confusing and all those things all at the same time. And God, yet you reassured them by sending an angel to them. And for many of us here today, it's still a little bit confusing. We don't really understand it, but you have given us your word so that we can understand it. Just like you sent Mary and Joseph a messenger, you've also sent us a messenger in the form of your word. And we praise you that today we're standing here in front of you, giving you glory for what we know is true. The birth of your Son in the flesh. Coming to do your will to be our sacrifice once for all. And all we have to do is believe. And what a gift that is. God, we praise you for this gift. We praise you for our time here today to celebrate what you've done for us. To celebrate the birth of your Son. Thank you, God. Thank you. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus, who did come, who did die for us, we praise you. And we pray all these things. Amen.